What a joy it is to serve here at Colonial Hills and to serve with Pastor Jermaine Mathis, who is just recently back with us after a knee surgery, and we're just so delighted that she's healing, still continuing to get back on her feet, and we're going to be dancing a little bit later, I think. But just such a joy, and such a joy to serve with the folks here at Colonial Hills. It's just an honor. This is my first Easter here. And this morning I woke up at about 10 till 5 o'clock, and I woke up with the alarm, but it wasn't much of a snooze this morning. I woke right up and then had to wake the kids up, and I'm a morning person anyway, so I woke them up, as you know you'd expect me to on Easter morning, with "Up from the grave he arose." And they're like, "Oh, Dad, come on, Dad." Sorry, sound crew. Thank you to the sound crew, those that are doing the live stream, and welcome to all those that are watching online this morning. It is such a joy to celebrate that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. So I'll say that again. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. That's something called the Paschal greeting. This is an old traditional greeting of the church, where Christians would gather at Easter and they would say, "Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed." In the Greek, it's Christos Aneste, and then Althos Aneste, Christ is risen indeed. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. I wanted to open with a prayer. If you'll join me. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Oh God, you are our rock, our strength, our redeemer. God, thank you for the message that you've placed in my heart. I ask that it would make sense as it comes out of my mouth, that I could let it be your words. God, speak through me and in spite of me. God, we give you this time as we open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds to what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good news that we have to share. It's good news that is worth repeating. It's good news that we get to live out. We get to listen once again to the messenger, the angels that said this on the first Easter, and then we get to be those messengers as we get to share that good news that Christ is risen. And I know it's been quite a year. It's been a year since we've celebrated Easter, and many things perhaps have happened in this past year. I know several people who were especially touched as the flowering cross came down the center. As we sang our opening song, I was a bit touched because it felt kind of like a casket would come through. It was a flowering cross, and we're reminded that the death could not hold him and that there's hope. There's a resurrection hope in Christ raising from the grave. And many of us are in this place where we need that. We need to hear that, to remember that again. These Easter lilies remind us of that. I have a dear friend who said, "I'm going to take that Easter lily and I'm going to go to my husband's grave and I'm going to thank God for his life today." What a hope that we have in Christ Jesus. That's what we celebrate this morning. We hear that wonderful phrase, "Christ is risen," and then we reply with, "Christ is risen indeed." It comes from the Synoptic Gospels. You can find that in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And then in John, you don't find the words, "He has risen." You find the words, "I have seen the risen Lord." It's a little more personal, a little deeper. But we'll start with, "Christ is risen." Christ is risen indeed. And I wanted to share this with you because it is in a tense, you know, like past, present, future tense, but it's in a aorist tense, which is different from past, present, and future tense in Greek. English doesn't even have this tense. And what this is we understand time. Like, this was in the past. That thing happened in the past. And this thing is happening right now. And some other things will happen in the future. But and I brought this hourglass to kind of illustrate that. You know, this is the sand at the bottom represents the past. And this is now, you know, time just going by right here in the middle, time moving through. And this would be, you know, the future, all that we have left here. But to say something is in aorist tense, it kind of steps away from it being as we know time to be. It's something that happened, but continues to happen and could happen in the future. So in the Bible, when the aorist tense is used, it's beyond what we think of as time. I'll give you an example of this. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. The verb loved is in the aorist tense. And so we could say, for God so loves the world. Or God will always love the world. So much that he would give his son. When we think about things that happened in the past, once and for all, I think about Christ on the cross when he said the words, "It is finished." Finished was in the perfect tense. It happened one time. But when we think about Christ rising, it's in the aorist tense. So it is correct if you're reading in the Bible that if your Bible says Christ has risen, that would be a correct way of translating that. But you could also say Christ is risen. And what I wanted to say that, you know, the reason why that little grammar lesson, I'm going somewhere with that, you see. It's not just for fun, and isn't that nice, and write that down. Because the thing is, the baby that we celebrate at Christmas that was born and laid in a manger that, you know, he grew up, and he taught his disciples, and he taught us the way that leads to life, and he died on a cross. But in his resurrection, Christ is risen. He's not just in one place, in one time, 2,000 years ago. In the resurrection, he is in all places and in all times. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It's also customary in the church, traditionally, maybe not today so much, but it is when you greet someone and you say, Christ is risen, and they say, Christ is risen indeed, then you, that's the Paschal greeting, and it also includes a holy kiss. Did you know that? Yeah, it's a kissing three times. In fact, I told my boy this morning, he might just get kissed this morning. So make sure you're sitting around someone that you like, right? You kiss, and it's three times, and he said, on the mouth? I said, oh no, heavens no, on the cheek. So it's a mwah, 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 each cheek. You've seen maybe people do that. That's customary. You don't have to do that today. You might not want to. But what would that be the equivalent to that? What kind of greeting could you give, or what kind words could you say that could lift somebody else up? So what greeting would give them peace of mind? That's part of it. We hear once again as we look at the scriptures the angel, the original messengers at the tomb, saying it like this. In Matthew's gospel, he is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So the angel tells the ladies in Matthew that they're to go and tell the disciples. And then I love this phrase in Matthew where he says, behold, I have told you. Now that's quite a benediction, isn't it? It's as if to say, I'm the messenger and I gave you this message. Now it's up to you. Now it's up to you. Do something with this. Go out and and give this news to someone else. Behold, I have told you. That'd be a nice thing to say right before I walk out, say good afternoon. Behold, I've told you. In Mark's gospel, it's the same message, but it's a little bit different. Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here in the places of death, in the tomb sealed off and not accessible. He is risen. See the place where they laid him. And then in Luke's gospel, very similar message. He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. In Luke 24, there is a scene right after this scene where two of the disciples are going towards Emmaus, and they encounter the risen Lord. Jesus walks along with them, and their eyes are kept from recognizing him, and he doesn't seem to know what's going on, and so they're downcast, and they tell him, and he opens up the scripture to them, and they're able to see this with clarity, Jesus in the scriptures. And then their eyes are opened as he breaks the bread. They recognize that it's Jesus, and then he disappears. They go back and they tell the other disciples, and they have to add something to it. It's what we call an adverb, and you can think of lots of adverbs. You know, they amplify the verbs like totally risen, for real, 100% risen. You know, right on. He's risen. Whatever you, an amplification of it. I had a professor I'll never forget in seminary, and if you had to turn in your paper late, you have to turn it in on Monday, and you would go to her. I've heard stories of this. It wasn't me. You'd have to go to her and you say, "I'm so sorry, I didn't get my paper done. I would like to turn it in on Monday," and she would say, "You will turn it in on Monday triumphantly." Yeah, I worked on it all week. I mean, somebody else worked on it all weekend just to turn it in triumphantly. And so when we say Christ is risen indeed, this is a way of amplifying that. And so they said the Lord is risen indeed, triumphantly. And he's appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. This is not just in one time and in one place. This is in all times and in all places. A holy word, a holy kiss. In Paul's letter to the Romans, there's this beautiful passage in Romans 8 where Paul is talking about life now, life moving forward, life after death. And he puts it in these terms, and I love the Message translation so much. This is Peterson's translation. He says, "It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ's." And then you go a little bit farther in verse 15. He says, "This resurrection life you receive from God, it's not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, 'What's next, Papa?' God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children, And we know we're going to get what's coming to us. And that is an unbelievable inheritance. We are God's children. That's why we're invited in to hear the good news. That's why we're invited in to communion.